Boom, boom, boom. Yes, welcome. Graham Elwood and Chris Mancini with the ComedyFilmNerds.com podcast.
Great to be here yet again.
Is that the music from Greatest American Hero?
No.
Oh, okay.
No special guest, Jackie Cation. That is the music from the very popular game show Tic-Tac-Doe that's playing really loudly, and I don't know how to stop it until it actually runs out.
Tic-Tac-Doe.
Tic-Tac-Doe.
That's right. It's the trivia game that makes you feel smart.
If you listen closely, it sounds like...
I think it goes for 30 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, more clapping. Obviously, they're in the studio and they went, no, more clapping, more clapping.
It's a rave.
What if no one shows up? Then we could play the theme song for the entire show.
It's a comedy film nerve rave.
Get out your glow sticks and pacifiers because we're going to talk movies till 4 in the morning on Ecstasy.
So bring plenty of water.
Here it comes. Big wrap up.
Big wrap up?
Big wrap up.
All right. Let's just talk over it. What do you guys like? You guys like eat chocolate much and chicken? What's happening over there?
Do you guys think this is we're at the ending credits right now?
Yeah, it sounds like we're killing time because the ending credits. Okay, here we go.
There we go. The breakdown.
Big fire up. Big fire up. Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, podcast episode number 4.
I can't believe it.
Welcome to all of our listeners in the United States and in the UK and abroad.
Oh, yeah. We've got a couple from, where was one?
Norway.
Norway, nice.
So,
every podcast has one listener from Norway.
One listener from Norway.
Yeah, it's just one guy.
Do you know what we're saying?
With a supercomputer.
Seriously, do you know what we're saying?
So Sven and Ole, they go fishing. And Sven says to Ole, oh, we're catching so much fish, Ole. You got to remember to mark the spot. And Ole says, yeah, yeah. And they row back to the thing. And Sven says to Ole, did you remember to mark the spot? And Ole says, yeah, I put a great big X on the side of the boat. And then Ole says, you're so dumb. Sven says, you're so dumb. How do you know we're going to get the same boat? Anyway, so it's just
Jackie right into a Nordic humor.
Oh yeah, I got one for everybody. Anybody want to call in from Togo? I got a great joke about soccer. We call it soccer.
Well, we want to welcome all of our listeners. Our guest is a writer.
Indeed.
One of the writers for the Comedy Film Nerds. She's also done several of our live shows and is the host of Dork Forest.
DorkForestRadio.com.
What other things are
Comedy
you?
Comedy Film Nerds fans.
And she's also a fantastic touring comedian as well.
Yes.
I do the standing and the talking. The stand-up comedy. You guys do it. You do it. You
I
know
like
what
it.
I was talking about.
Yeah. I like to stand and talk. You go on the road on with yourself and also with Maria Bamford.
I do. I ride a coattail out on the highway. You do some of that,
don't
you?
I'm on coattail highway all the time.
Coattail highway pays okay, my friends. If you people out there could find a coattail, latch on.
Ride that bad puppy.
Steady work, my friends.
It's good business.
That's
as
it.
As long as stoners like Doug Benson.
Your coattail has stoning. Has some stoning on it.
No.
has some sweet, sweet butt attached to it.
Yes.
Mine has some 12-step. Little 12-step work. We like to talk about our feelings when we go on the road. It's nice.
Oh.
I like it.
More steps, more coattails.
Nothing like a little serenity prayer when you're waiting for a connecting flight to
the
Denver airport.
My name is Jackie Cation, and I'm a comedian. And,
so we got a lot going on today.
Okay, we do.
What's the biggest thing going on in nerd world right now? Spider-Man 4 canned.
What in the sweet Christmas are you talking about?
I did not know.
Yeah,
Raimi
walked away.
Today.
It happened like a day ago, something like that.
So January 10th, 2010.
About there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and walked away. Raimi walked away over disputes.
So
on
now, for you in Norway, I know you haven't seen Spider-Man 2 yet. But
it's going to come out on DVD region 2 any minute now.
Just so you know, that's the best last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That after 2, they kind of go downhill. And I'm not saying they made 6.
Kinda?
Yeah.
Kinda? This is not a Star Trek event.
Spider-Man 3.
Where the odd ones are good.
Spider-Man 3 equals Batman 4.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 1 doesn't even hold up very well, quite honestly, in my opinion.
I think it does. For you have to look at culturally at the time where we were as a country in 2002.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back and look at the emotions that were all happening.
Yeah.
Well, look, that's pre-Batman Begins and pre-Dark Knight, so the superhero film genre was...
Lighter. It was much lighter.
It's horrible.
And it was... And they...
Pre-X-Men, even, right?
No, X-Men had come out...
Same year?
Not the same year.
Year before. X-Men had come out, I believe, the year or two before. And X-Men was the first one that kind of went, oh, maybe... Hollywood can make an okay comic book movie.
Yeah, yeah, and I loved X-Men. The first X-Men's great.
It was great. And I thought the first Spider-Man one was great, but I do think that when you start looking at Batman Begins and Dark Knight...
And then, even Iron Man.
Then, yeah.
Iron Man does fun that Spider-Man could have done really well.
I like the first Spider-Man.
Yeah, I like the first and second one, and then you realize the third one. Wow, everyone looks bored. I mean, I can't see Sam Raimi's face, but I know he's bored.
You feel it.
Yeah,
you feel it off,
every
just
scene,
off screen.
Every scene you felt that there was an intense boredom that was really permeating every scene.
Do you remember that Burgess, was it Burgess who did the Christmas Carol, the famous Christmas Carol from the 50s?
Yes.
There's a scene in it where Ebenezer Scrooge, Christmas morning, is looking in the mirror going... I haven't missed it. I haven't. And he's having a little dialogue with himself in the mirror. And in the mirror of the newly remastered DVD, you can see a guy.
A grip.
Yeah. Leaning. Bored. Bored. In the mirror. He's just sort of leaning, watching the taping, going,
Oh, that's great. Are you sure it's not a ghost?
Well, that's the speculation. It could be the fourth
ghost.
Rip ghost, the fourth speculative ghost.
Here's the thing about Spider-Man. It's Sony kind of saw this coming, and they're rebooting the franchise.
Because
it's been so long since the first movie. They're rebooting it, making it darker and grittier. And
Dark Knight.
Him in high school, Peter Parker in high school. But the whole point of Spider-Man is it's not darker and grittier. It's actually, it's brighter, but you can still make that good. You know, every movie doesn't have to be Dark Knight. So.
Right, I thought they were going to do that with Deadpool. I thought Deadpool was going to be the darker Spider-Man.
I don't know what happened to that.
Deadpool's gone?
I haven't heard from Deadpool in a long time.
Okay.
But the thing about it is you kind of saw this coming, really, rebooting a frame. I mean, you don't...
Apatow's going to direct it?
You know, I don't
know.
Yeah,
it's going to be a quirky teen film where he's trying to have sex, but he can't. Michael Cera plays Peter Parker.
Oh, please, don't get any ideas, studio executives.
Don't listen.
Bring back Nicholas Hammond.
Holy shit. Explain to the people in Norway who Nicholas Hammond is.
Nicholas
and
Hammond
across
was
the table from you.
was the guy that played Spider-Man in the 70s TV series.
Oh.
Nick Hammond. Wow.
Yeah.
Nick Hammond, you pulled that out of your ear.
That's like a Patrick Duffy Aquaman man from Atlantis.
That's
screwed
awesome.
It up.
Where's John Eric Hexum when you need him? Let's go back and fix time.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. You're going to reboot the franchise.
Too soon?
Way too soon. Too soon. And but there's other things that need rebooting, much worse.
Really?
Daredevil.
Daredevil.
You could reboot Daredevil in 4 seconds.
Right, but Daredevil and Elektra and Catwoman, none of those worked at all. So why would they reboot them? Why would you just start over, you mean?
No, you start over. Yeah.
That casting was terrible and writing didn't work.
Casting, directing, writing, I mean, that's what kills everything.
Yeah,
I remember when Batman 4 came out and people were furious. They wanted Joel Schumacher's head. That was the...
Was that the ice skating one?
And that was the almost buttless chaps.
Joel Schumacher said, Clooney.
Okay.
Yeah, that I'm going to make a gay Batman movie.
He said this movie will have more bat butt than ever. And it's like,
wow.
And, go make a romantic comedy where gay guys can do all the sexual innuendos they love. Because I know gay guys.
Did you guys like Superman Returns?
I did not.
No.
I thought
Christopher Reeve is such an infinitely better. This kid that they got for Superman Returns was just a good-looking kid. He didn't have that badass quality that Christopher Reeve...
He just looked like Christopher Reeves. It was
and he did a great job at leering through windows at Lois Lane. That was his big scene. It was, we can leer. Fantastic.
He's a dirty creep.
Yeah, that makes me really like this character. But I love Joel Schumacher. That one quote I want to say for him, and I couldn't believe this. He goes... He actually apologized for that movie later, saying, you know, I owe the fans a real Batman movie. And people responded saying the only thing Joel Schumacher owes the Batman fans is to stay as far away from the franchise as possible.
Right. So, make a gay porn version of it.
Looking for work?
Yeah.
I'll
fix it.
Yeah.
I'll fix it. I
for
swear
$50 million.
That's it. You're going to want me back.
Just sign a mistake. Big deal. I wasted $100 million. So
all right. Let's get into what's in the theaters now.
Yes.
First of all, I saw over the weekend, when I was working at Laugh's Comedy Spot in Kirkland, I saw...
Excellent. Did that go well?
That was great.
Excellent.
I saw Daybreakers.
Now, what did you think? I'm
vampires,
hearing mixed about it.
Vampire movie.
Future vampire world. I actually like the premise.
Okay.
It's the future. Vampires are dominating everything. I thought it was going to be...
Even sports?
In the sports, yes. Yeah. They're playing. They're really.
Is it the District 9 of vampire movies? Yeah. Would it be, oh, that'd be awesome.
I know.
Where's the District 9 of vampire movies? Was it the Red Dawn effect?
Yeah. Let it turn, Johnny. Let it turn to something else.
That hate's going to eat you up, boy.
It's not as horrible as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I was actually going into it, like, really excited. Like, this is going to be horrible. You know?
All right. Well, you got to make that commitment if you're walking into something craptastic.
Because I talked Riley Newton and Andy Wood into blowing off their job writing for Microsoft to see two movies back to back, mainly because I didn't have a car in Seattle, but I really like hanging out with those guys.
Right, they're awesome. When they came, they hung out.
So they were like, "Are we gonna?" So there was some laughable moments in Daybreakers, but it's
seeing it with those guys though. That would be
it was
fun to see it with somebody and be able to go, "What the hell?"
Yeah,
yeah.
There's some ridiculous moments, but there's some cool stuff. Like there is, it's okay. Like
If you like a monster movie, will you like it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of like really good actors. At first, when I saw the trailer, I'm like, how are all these good actors in such a bad movie?
Yeah.
The vampires are all
like, you said
it's okay.
Not too bad.
I mean, like, it's not.
Now, does the word Daybreaker have a specific significance? Is like the code, some program code?
Are they more vampires that can walk in light?
Yeah. Well, they don't really go into that. They don't really go into how the name. It's not
the
like
day?
You're a daybreaker. You know, like it's just the.
They just came up with a cool word.
They just came up with a cool term.
Just right. For the poster.
Yeah, and because it's a world ruled by vampires, you know, they have cars that can drive themselves, and all the windows black out, and stuff like that. So it's there's some interesting stuff in
it. Are you saying it has necromantic glass?
Sure, Chris.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is available. We're selling necromantic glass on the site.
ComedyFilmNerds.com. Baby. Hit the merch button.
For all you vampires with internet access.
For all you vampires in Norway.
Yeah.
Please.
Awesome. It's okay. So,
there you go.
See it, don't see it. If you're a big vampire person, you probably will find this movie interesting.
Now, what if you are a vampire? Would you find it interesting?
See it at night.
Yeah.
What if you're just goth? What if you're a 45-year-old goth lady who just let it go too long?
Well, then you have no choices but to see Daybreakers.
You have to dash up and say to yourself, why am I wearing widow's weeds? I just
said widow's weeds.
At a matinee.
Where am I from? The 50s. Yeah. That's where I'm from. I talk old-timey language.
So that's
now you're on the trolley.
Exactly.
What did you see, Chris, this past week?
I saw Youth in Revolt with the fantastic Michael Cera.
Did he play a quirky kid that's all mixed up that just wants to, really likes a girl but doesn't know how to talk to her right?
Did you see this movie?
No.
What? You know what? This is the kind of movie that was like, it's kind of smart, charming, really just fun, and kind of like a romantic comedy.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait. That's what it wanted to be.
Oh, shoot.
No, it was actually terrible.
It was terrible.
It was one of those movies that tries too hard and was completely amateurish. It was like, oh, here's a character that's the quirky best friend, and he's in two scenes. Now, here's the quirky new friend at the new school. He's in one scene.
Wow.
And it was just a mess. And then my favorite part was when Michael Cera goes all Fight Club. And he develops a second personality to make him be bad.
Oh, my God.
And it's a guy with a French mustache.
A French mustache? That's Peter Brady.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's the entire
yeah.
season of The Brady Bunch.
Which was much more watchable. Yeah. Pork chops and applesauce.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't
guy.
That swell?
I do remember that.
Yeah, that was actually what... And then the other characters, like the girl he's going after, you're like, oh, okay, she's coming off as kind of a bitch. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, then this will turn around. Then he'll fall for, like, you know, the frumpy best friend or whatever. And then, like, nope, he sticks with her, does
sticks
all these crimes, and then, I guess she's nice now. So it's not a very good movie. And the thing that was really irritating is how much they tried to make it quirky.
And likable.
And likable. It's like, okay, you know, we'll give, like, some of the dialogue, the real smart dialogue. Like, you know how... professional actors get what's called an inner dialogue to act with. Occasionally in this movie, the actors actually recited their inner dialogue. Here's what's wrong with you psychologically. And here's your entire character description. And then here's my entire character description.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Now
Were
I don't have to think about subtext.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Almost. Now you should probably stand over there while I talk and look
oh my
moody.
God.
But some
terrible.
great cameos and some not so great cameos. Zach, Galifianakis.
He's in every movie. He's in every movie.
It was a little disconcerting to see him kind of be, you know, the girlfriend to Jean Smart, or be the boyfriend to Jean Smart. There's a bit of an age difference there.
Is it just creepy? It looks a little creepy. Age plus seven.
It's a little more. And then
Zach is minus three.
Yeah.
What is he? 37
But
what
he
do you
was
think
it.
He is? 35?
I think Zach is probably 63 years old.
Yeah.
63 years old.
Then it would have looked a little better. But it was a weird thing where it was like he came off as a real kind of creepy dick, which was really funny. He actually had one of the better cameos in.
Right.
Ray Liotta was okay. Steve Buscemi. Actually, Buscemi. How do you pronounce it?
Whatever.
Buscemi. Yeah. He had a horrible cameo where you go, man, he just must have wanted the work. He played like the dick father. Fred Willard, there kind of for the paycheck.
Right.
And Justin Long really can't act. Sorry. I'm going to argue with people about Justin Long.
Huh.
Don't think he can act great in a Mac commercial.
We're recording this on a Mac.
But put him in a role. He plays like the stoner guy that's also completely one dimensional. So,
right.
I was the audience in revolt in that movie.
Audience,
Ethan Revolt. You know, Michael Cera. You know, I like him, but when you see him do the same thing over and over, you want him to do it less.
Yeah. it's that way with any actor that does.
Yeah.
There's only Vince Vaughn can get away with doing the same thing over and over.
Woody Allen didn't make a movie
Hugh
every
Grant?
6 months.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the new movie? Did you know that Hugh Grant is cheating on both Drew Barrymore and Sandra Bullock?
That's crazy.
With this new Sarah Jessica Parker lady.
Well, you know what happened?
He
raised the stakes.
Did he raise the stakes?
He's like, well, I can't just cheat on one woman in a movie. I got to cheat on both.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that will make me even more charming to American women.
It sounds complicated, doesn't it?
Whatever happened to the Morgans? Here's my overall thing. Like, I agree. I like Michael Cera, but I'm done with the genre of the guy that's like, oh my golly, I don't know what to do. Like,
I can't do him. I can't do it anymore.
Stand up and fuck that broad, or punch the guy in the mouth, or do something. Man,
and
she needs to
raise her standards for crying out loud.
Yeah.
That guy looks like a pile of Play-Doh.
Yes,
move on. You are gorgeous.
And
you're beautiful. Stop stringing this loser along.
Yeah.
Unless you're like milking him for money or something.
Yeah.
Great, then let's make that move.
And that was
the biggest dick in the world. I got nothing. I mean, he's got. I don't know what is happening, but Judd Apatow is just got to get his head out of his own pants.
I'm
from 1987.
I'm sick of it.
Where it is.
I'm tired. Like forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Every movie is Freaks and Geeks.
Every movie is. You know what? I can't watch. I've never seen Freaks and Geeks. Now I can't watch it because I think it's been ruined. You know, because now I'm just gonna be like, oh, he's hacking himself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just, I'm just like,
and
I get
the whole
it.
Thing
they all
with
write
the Fight
same
Club
joke
thing.
Over and over
He's
again,
so likable. Well, now, okay, we'll create a dual personality for his assholeness. And he didn't even do asshole well or right. I mean, it's like, okay, if you're going to be an asshole, be an asshole. No, he was just a dumb guy who made bad decisions, which also decreases your likability.
It's like forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he's that guy's all like, wishy-washy, and then he runs into his girlfriend and her new boyfriend. Punch that limey guy that was banging your girlfriend in the fucking mouth. Knock him out.
Yeah.
And tell her she's a whore and hook up with the new chick.
And if we're going to change things, I say we bring back a 16 candles kind of PG. What do you think?
Yes.
More nakedness.
Done.
Yes.
All right.
Let's do it.
It's
16 candles. I was down with 16 candles. All those movies had some guy in it that was like
he was a loser, but he had a goal. Commiserate with his sort of social level.
Yeah. He was actually a written character.
Yeah.
And not like a caricature.
Right. With a goal and an arc and a whole, it was all very beautiful.
So, studio executives, if you are listening, that you can take home.
Take it home.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Make another 16
Write
candles.
Every character.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be what great to see a character with, I don't know, one to 0.5 sides. We could go, you don't have to go all the way to two dimensions.
You could do a backstory. Why don't you do what they call it, a Bible. What they do is they write a little backstory for every character, and then they're sort of fleshed out. It's beautiful. You might want to look into it. I'm just saying.
All right, so Mr. Fox, Jack.
And Sherlock Holmes. Those are the two things, and Avatar. And then those are the movies I've seen.
Well, let's talk about...
We'll talk about the one.
We've talked a little bit... We can go on to Avatar and Sherlock Holmes. We talked a little bit about that in the last podcast, but we did not talk about Mr. Fox. So.
Oh, the fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah. And full review, Jackie has on the site. It's great.
There you go. So go there. Listen up. But Wes Anderson, who is our writer director, but not right. Did he do the adaptation? I don't know. Did he?
If he did, he did it with a number of people.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't think he did it alone.
I mean, it was. I thought it was witty and smart, and I like stop motion animation a great deal. It always amuses me to the fact that they were willing to take a half a day for the tiniest joke, because stop motion animation takes forever.
Yeah.
Like Wallace and Gromit.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna, or even, you know, and the way Mr. Fox moved, he did sort of a Cowboy Bebop lope. It was a lean back and lope along kind of thing.
Cowboy Bebop is an animated series
from Japan.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
Nerd out, people. Norway, you've seen it.
Yeah.
But what I did, my most fascinating thing about the fascinating Mr. Fox was that he has this sort of slacker hipster vibe that he brings to all of his movies, that he also brought to a stop motion animation film of, well, I don't care if you like it. We were going to make it anyway. No. If you like it, that's great. It's cool. But if you didn't like it, well, fuck you. You don't know what you're doing, you know? And it turns out you do care, Wes Anderson. You care a great deal, because stop motion animation takes forever to make. you cared enough to make. It wasn't just you and your friends making a YouTube video.
Right.
You know, it wasn't you and Meryl Streep and George Clooney getting together on a weekend and putting something together. Like it, don't like it, I don't care. But so like twice during watching the movie, it actually pulled me out. I was watching his filmmaking and not in the movie. But the movie itself, witty. I mean, he nailed it. If you're going to do that hipster, I don't care. You know, like, you know how Jay Leno always looks like he's trying too hard?
Right, yeah.
It's hard to, you know, as much as you want to like the guy, and people don't, but as much as I want to like the guy, it's always...
They certainly don't like him at 10 o'clock.
No.
Exactly. 10 o'clock, it's not happening.
Maybe Fantastic Mr. Fox at 10 o'clock.
Boom.
Every night. Yeah. And Wes Anderson, if it's that easy, if it's that effortless, why don't you do that 5 nights a week, my friend?
And if you like it, don't like it.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Watch it. Don't watch it. I don't care. There's a Bounty commercial coming up. Screw you. But you know, it's. But you know, he did nail it, though. I mean, the thing is, if you do that sort of slacker, I don't care if you like my jokes or I don't care if you like my work. It better be amazing.
But how did the low tech approach kind of work with it? Like, you know, like the cotton ball smoke and all that stuff.
Oh right. It was beautiful, I thought.
It looked good.
I thought,
okay.
Yeah, it looked good. It was distracting, you know, like all, you know, we're so over CGI'd.
Right.
You know, so that it took probably 3 or 4 minutes of me going, oh, that's what that's gonna look like. That's what that's going to look like. You know, I mean, sort of like you had to sort of, it's, in my opinion, I am a simple woman of the people.
That's your new book, by the way.
That's my catchphrase. I'm a simple woman of the people. But the thing is it's when I watch a foreign film, you know, it takes me 2 or 3 minutes to go, oh, I'm reading, I'm watching. And then you get immersed.
You adjust, yeah.
You adjust, you're immersed, you're in. And then you watch it and go, oh, well, I'm glad I watched that. Or you think, I'm never seeing another French film in my life. But whatever. I mean,
well, foreigners are dirty, is what we're saying.
They're dirty.
Except in Norway.
They're very clean in Norway. And the UK. Thanks for listening.
And thanks for listening. It's like Disneyland, where somebody's always there with a mop and a bucket. So, on aisle 2, by the way. And there's been a spill. But, so I really liked it, and it was beautiful. Did you guys see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm honestly, I have not seen it yet, and I'm glad that you're saying those things, because Wes Anderson is one of these directors who I really like.
Yeah.
And I think he's one of these directors, kind of like M. Night Shyamalan, who fell into this, I always make my movies a certain way, and I have to have, like M. Night Shyamalan, I have to have the quirky twist-a-roo ending.
Right, because everybody loved it so much.
And, yeah.
Let me find that
yeah.
in everything. Well, no, you're doing a straightforward documentary. Why don't we just end it?
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know?
And
so it is gutsy stuff.
And I think, I'm glad that Wes Anderson broke out of this, because his last film prior to that was the Bill Murray, Jacques Cousteau.
That was Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic.
But after that, wasn't Darjeeling Limited after that?
Right.
I don't know.
You know what? I loved Darjeeling Limited.
Right.
And that was the one that like didn't do as well. And I thought it was his best movie.
Okay.
I really did. I thought it was like, it kind of felt like Lost in Translation.
Okay.
It was that kind
of... Which Lost in Translation has that feel of hipster, too cool for school.
And also like almost like a travelogue. Here's people who have never been in this place before, and you actually get to immerse themselves in the culture and the and the climate, and you kind of go along for the ride. And I thought
it's
it was
no
great.
Accidental tourist.
It's a, no, and because I always felt Wes Anderson, like that kind of quirky thing. He always sometimes works a little too hard at being like that quirky.
Yeah. Well, that was the problem with Life Aquatic, and, was like he was right. trying to. Yeah. He like, oh, I better put my Wes Anderson quirkiness
exactly.
in here.
And with which Darjeeling is... Limited, he toned it down. He took it out. See? He made a movie, and it was great.
And
I really liked it.
And I only felt that I'm trying too hard to not care. Which is what I've always felt in the stuff that I've seen of his, is twice in Fantastic Mr. Fox. And it was so smart and witty and funny and lovely that
he got away with
He got away with it.
Right.
You know? But I like that he's going, that's awesome to hear that, he, that he's getting away from that. Because hipster crap.
I'm we talked about hard. This last episode with Mike Schmidt about, you know, like some hipsters. You were talking about last episode, Chris, about the hipsters that are there's a backlash against up in the air.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just overall, I think there should be a backlash against hipsters.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the opinion of hipsters.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why don't you wear a jacket?
Yeah. And stop spending 4 hours to make your hair look like you didn't spend any time on it.
And I can't believe you bought a beanie.
Is the faux hawk still happening?
Yeah,
I saw Chuck.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I will say, we need to move on a little bit. But real quick about Wes Anderson, why I'm glad he's branching out. I'm glad to hear that about Fantastic Mr. Fox, because I was not going to see it. But I've heard from you and other people about that. Is I get, as we all are performers and we all are artists, you find that thing that works. It's sometimes scary to leave it.
Yeah.
It's scary to leave that thing, to write new jokes, to
zone,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's definitely a comfort zone. We all have it, and we all, but I think, you know, and especially when that comfort zone is bringing you in
so
money and awards, I get that.
I want to be sympathetic. Yeah, yeah. That's an excellent point.
You know, I'll make fucking Palm Strike 6, the musical, if it means I can live on a yacht.
I will talk about dorks forever if you will employ me. Do you need me to do Weird Con? There we go. With a Y.
Yeah.
But that is good to hear. All right, the last movie that we want to talk about that is currently in theaters that just came out is Crazy Heart.
All right.
Which there's a full review of it on the site, written by me. Haha. I got to tell you, the trailers for this looked like I was going to go and... It looked like the kind of movie where I go, I'm going to need to see this alone and sit far away because I'm going to be crying.
Oh, like, right.
Honestly,
it had a feel.
It had that feel to it.
So like you felt when you saw Blade Runner.
When I saw Blade Runner, yes, I cried. What, why can't him and an android make beautiful babies together? They're cursed. And Rutger Hauer, he makes you cry. Especially when he's hunting people on a truck. See Thomas Howell, coming for you. reference, email me if you know what movie I'm talking about. So I was really wanting that, and I wanted that also on a lot of levels because I'm a guy in his I'm still in my 30s who's still on the road. I've been a comic since I was 18. So the opening part of the movie was really great in terms of just capturing what his life is, driving all day to some shitty gig.
Oh, cool.
Hoping, you know, pissed off that they give him a free dinner but not free drinks. Like all that stuff, a little motel room. And
it sounds quite familiar.
Yeah, we all as comedians have done those gigs and are maybe still doing them.
Right. Saturday I'll be in Stockton.
Check our MySpace page. It's got tour dates.
It does. I just updated it. Yeah. I'm not above it. I'll stick with the MySpace.
And we'll see if you know the free drinks or not.
Yeah.
Right, we'll find out. But was it better than Funny People?
Oh God, yes.
It's I didn't see than, Funny People.
Funny People like. Started out great and then became a second movie when he starts going up to Judd Apatow's family and he's trying to become a family man. That made no sense in Funny People. What I think this movie had some great points. Jeff Bridges is amazing.
Right.
Jeff Bridges.
He's always amazing.
He's great. He's amazing. And like that's, you go see that movie no matter what. It's like, I saw It's Complicated because of Alec Baldwin.
And it
wasn't that complicated.
Right, and they're just fucking around.
Yeah, it's the divorce. They got divorced. Okay. Now they're banging. Who cares? What's the problem?
I'm the only one swearing. I'm going to take it back. I'm not going to swear anymore.
All right, thanks, you cocksucker.
Excellent. I just saw Deadwood. I don't know.
but Crazy Heart, Jeff Bridges is amazing, and I really felt like I've met this guy. Like when I did a bowling alley gig in Downsdale, Illinois, in 1994. This guy played after me.
Yeah, we've all done a bowling alley one time or another.
Of course, this guy played you know, between me and the DJ, the karaoke DJ. Like, he was so believable. And Maggie Gyllenhaal, I think, is great. And her, like, single mom, you know, that's smitten with this guy is really awesome. And the interview sort of provides a little peek into his world. But then Colin Farrell, who I like.
Right.
Is so missed. Like, I'm just going, you're an Irish guy. You're an Irish heartthrob trying to play a country music singer. And he's not even in the movie that much. So it's not like they needed him.
Right.
He's not in the trailers. It's not like they needed him to sell it because Jeff Bridges sells the movie.
I didn't know he was in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, why was he cast? Like, that's...
Because somebody wanted to work with him.
I guess someone wanted to work with him.
There was some favorite cast, and you're not sure on which side.
But I mean, Robert Duvall produced it. You know,
oh, did he?
Which is another thing that was confusing. And Duvall plays like the conscience of Bad Blake, Jeff Bridges' character. And he's, of course, he's Robert Duvall. He's great in it. But I'm just, the whole time I'm like, tender mercies, tender mercies, tender mercies. Like, and I think, honestly, it just pulled up a little short. Like, overall, I would say go see this movie because there's great scenes in it.
Yeah.
But is it an amazing, like, home run? No.
Fabulous Baker Boys? Is it that?
No.
So are you saying you didn't cry?
I did not cry.
There was no crying?
There was no cry. There was several moments where I and Andy Wood and Riley were all taken out of it. You know, and honestly, there was just times where it felt like, instead of like a gritty independent film where they really went out and did it, it felt like Hollywood went to New Mexico.
Right.
Because of great film tax credits.
And underpaid somebody.
Yeah. And just.
And make it look
and good. And got Colin Farrell.
And got Colin Farrell. Yeah, like, it should have either been. It should have been Colin Farrell should have been a no name.
Right.
You know, and I just this overall.
In general or in the movie?
I really, when he does his thing, I like him a lot. Yeah. It's just, and I don't know if it's that, like, oh, when an English actor does an American accent, it's so amazing. It's right. Like, you know who does really good American accents? American yeah. actors. Mm-hmm. Like
you, Laurie.
You know.
Get lost.
And that's not disparaging comments about the UK to all of our fine listeners in the UK.
Right.
It's really about Americans and how dumb they can be. Like when someone with an English accent talks and Americans go, wow, he sounds smart. It's like, no, he just has an English accent. He's right. A moron.
Right. He's just a guy.
Just a guy. So I think for certain acting scenes and Jeff Bridges' work and Maggie Gyllenhaal, it's worth seeing for that. But
right.
Don't go in expecting to be like tearjerker. This is amazing.
Jeff Bridges was amazing in Tron. I have to say
he's great in everything. So I think we're gonna go.
But he was the only one. He was the only one who was good in Tron. Bruce Boxleitner couldn't act his way out of that box that he was lightening up.
Really, Bruce Boxleitner isn't doesn't hold up.
You know what?
It doesn't hold up.
I gotta defend Bruce Boxleitner. He did okay.
In Tron.
I mean, he's right. Wait a minute, Bruce Boxleitner. He's no Ted McGinley.
No.
Who's Ted McGinley?
Oh, this is the guy who's killed every TV.
Oh, okay.
Blonde hair guy came at the end of Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley.
And right. Married with Children. Yeah, and no, looks except exactly that I don't like Bruce Boxleitner.
Right, but Bruce Boxleitner is just terrible in this movie. And the woman who plays sort of the love interest in Tron, she was so bad. It was, I looked her up and she's, I don't know, she's still living, but she's not really.
I want to cut out your tongue for talking that way about Tron, that it's not holding up.
It's not, Tron has a hard time holding up, it turns out. But well, Jackie, the CGI is great.
Do you have an inside scoop?
Yeah, why would you be watching Tron? Why would you
Be the only reason I, well, because my husband, makes video games for a living, and he's doing a 5-week stint over at Disney working on their iPod games, the iTouch iPhone games, and one of them he is working on. He just did a Toy Story game, and he's doing because Toy Story 3 or 4 is coming out, and the new Tron game is coming out, and he was working on the Tron game. And he was talking about how funny it was that they had to simulate the vector scope, the vector graphics. Because they don't make vector graphics anymore. The blur here, right in front of your eyes. it got explained to me last night at length, might I add. Thank you very much. So video games used to, you know, like Asteroids and Tempest, they're all just lines, right? Yeah. They were all just line drawings, and Tron, of course, as well. Well, that was created because the back of television screens were painted phosphorescent, and there were picture tubes that had a laser go through them, and the laser could just make lines.
For everybody under 30, this is like when Granddad used to ride his horse to the general store.
It's true. Back when...
What's that? Oh, Daddy? Oh, that's an Atari 2600.
You remember... remember VHS.
Yeah.
Okay, go back in time just a little bit further to when televisions had picture tubes. It's over. But anyway, so the thing is they don't. What they do is the funny thing is the graphics that were bad back then. They have to be duplicated, and they can't be duplicated on an iPhone or an iPod Touch because it doesn't exist. There's no little laser tube. It's all being done with pixels.
Are you saying there's no vector graphics engine built into the iPhone?
It turns out you can have a backpack that you carry around with you and then a USB cord that you plug into it with a very... And then you buy that app for $6.99.
Yeah. Which is available at comedyfilmnerds.com. Check out our store.
And click on the merch button.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but that, yeah, so...
Now, does this mean that a new Tron movie is coming out?
There's a new Tron movie coming out, I guess.
Oh, so nerd!
Nerd alert. Giant red button.
Breaking nerd news.
Breaking nerd news. New Tron movie coming out. New Toy Story movie coming out. That's also Nerdatorium. That looks awesome.
Well, Pixar.
I'll be crying in that one.
So good that you will cry, actually. I know a guy that's cutting the trailer.
Oh, really?
It's fantastic. Yeah.
He's a pussy.
Well, could be.
Sure. I will drop the hat, though, and cry at anything. Yeah. So there you go.
I like going to the theaters and crying. I really.
All right, you know what?
Really
let's see the movie, and then we'll make a tally.
Right. Nice.
How many people cried actually at Toy Story 3?
Right on.
All right, since we're talking about
upcoming
things, let's go into the Golden Globe nominations. Do you want to just dance into that a little bit? Because some of these things are out on DVD. Some of them are still in theaters.
Best Motion Picture Drama.
Boom.
Avatar. Really? Drama?
Avatar. Yeah. It's no Willow. That's what I have to say about it. Avatar. It's a lot like Willow. It's actually
I said that last podcast. I said Avatar is just Pocahontas in space.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the first people to say. Now it's everywhere. It's just people are actually breaking down scene by scene.
Yeah.
Now it's like Pocahontas.
What pulled me out of Avatar was the Tarzan, no guns in Tarzan country. When the planet fights back, when Ego, the world mind, fights back and sends the futuristic rhinoceroses, alien rhinos. Marching through the soldiers. I was like, that Tarzan did that. Johnny Weissman.
Oh, that's true,
elephants.
Too. Yeah. Good, good.
He was
good call.
Sending it through.
My favorite part was, though, the planet doesn't listen. You know, it lets you, do your own affairs. Yeah, the planet doesn't listen. Really? I guess that means the planet's going to listen in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Note to self.
Yeah.
Planet paying attention at this time.
Hurt Locker. Best picture.
Hurt Locker.
Yes.
Hurt Locker is out on DVD. As I've said before, I think it's the best movie thus far to come out about the Iraq War, in my opinion.
And I heard the best movie to come out this year.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. Talk about some crying and some tension.
Well, since you've been over there, you did one of Scott Kennedy's tours in Iraq. You should really see it. It'll
terrify me the next time I get.
You should actually watch. You should watch it while you're in Iraq.
That'll be
fantastic. Watch it on the plane over to Iraq.
It's what? I'll bring my DVD player in when I'm in the mine-resistant armored personnel vehicle, which, by the way, would be the worst ride at a Six Flags ever.
Yeah.
Because there's no shocks. It's essentially. I used to be 5'8".
MRAPs is the best way to travel from Camp Victory into the Green Zone, by the way, if you're ever over in the Baghdad area.
Best way, because if you get blown up, you live.
I think part of this podcast just got redacted.
Line. Okay. Next one,
Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards, which I didn't see because I was afraid I would like it.
Well, that's an excellent reason
not
to see it.
Are you not a Quentin Tarantino fan? Or?
Well, I'm not a huge Quentin Tarantino fan because I get it. That's where I am with Quentin. I get it. Go play with yourself. Anyway,
And this is the kind of movie where if you're a Quentin Tarantino fan, you're going to like the movie.
Yeah,
if you're not a Quentin Tarantino fan, this movie will not change your mind.
Well, and the thing is Inglourious Basterds, correct me if I'm wrong, is about a group of people in World War II. Who go?
It's a remake,
it's a remake of.
Seriously, this movie came out in the 70s. Yeah.
But the thing about it is from the trailer, you think that's what it's about. They go in and just juke squad that kills a bunch of Nazis, and it's actually
a small part of
is the B plot.
Oh, that's the
B-plot. It's more about.
Is there a message about the Geneva Convention at all?
Probably somewhere in like.
Is it that we're torturing people in Gitmo? Is there? Because the thing is, there's too much risk. No, I'll do it in a video game. I will do it in a video game. I will slit the throats of one Nazi after another.
It's more some kind of crazy fantasy World War II movie that has very little to do with.
It is
actually
a video game.
Nothing to do with reality.
Right, because they meet Hitler, don't they?
Oh yeah, it goes beyond that, and it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous, crazy Quentin Tarantino World War II movie.
As a comic book, it would go, but because it was as a movie, I was just like, damn, it's just, it's encouraging.
I think you would like it. And here's my prediction. I think you would like it and then be angry at yourself for liking it.
I'm already angry at myself because I like the idea. Because I'm like, I want to kill Nazis. Who doesn't want to kill Nazis? Who wouldn't go back in time and kill Hitler?
Just with Brad
Pitt. If I had to choke him to death with kittens, I would kill Hitler. If I had to shove one baby kitten into his mouth until he choked to death, I would kill Hitler.
Now, if Quentin Tarantino had thought of that, that would have been in the movie.
Exactly. Quentin, call me.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. That's an incredibly long title. I think we could have just called it Precious.
I think we know that it is just called Precious.
Yeah.
When people talk about it. And I hear it's amazing.
It's amazing. I saw
Did you see it?
Yes, I saw
it. Oh, I read your review of it. Available on comedyfilmnerds.com.
And I, you can read my review. I also talked about it, I think, in episode one or two of the podcast. And it's awesome. It's very depressing. It does have sort of a ray of hope in it. If it were to win,
and everyone lives at the end.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the comedy of Shakespeare. Everybody's in a horrible place, but they're alive.
But they're alive.
So there's tomorrow.
They've got some of their hands. Yeah. No, I mean, like how this Precious character, you know, starts to grow and blossom in the end. It's amazing. I mean, like between that and Hurt Locker. It's a toss up. It's a toss up for me.
And you saw both of them.
I saw both of them, and they're both amazing. Very different subject matter, but both very intense and great acting and great directing. And I hope both of those movies win a lot of awards.
Right.
Because
the next one,
drama.
A drama. Yeah, the last one, Up in the Air.
Drama.
Yeah, drama up in the air.
It's got some dramatic stuff.
Because they're firing people.
It's a dramedy.
Is that what it's said?
Yeah, it's a dramedy. And you know, I actually saw it this weekend too, and I thought it was really good.
It looks.
Don't
great.
Understand the hipster backlash in this movie.
Oh,
it's very.
Suck it.
It's very very.
I knew the ending of Sixth Sense.
No, you didn't.
It's a very cool, smart, dramatic character piece. And the thing, as you're watching, you realize, oh, this is a grown-up movie. Yeah, you know, because you're watching characters that are have many dimensions, are flawed, and feel real. And when they're talking to each other, it's so great. You think, well, no, neither one of them is really telling the truth or something learned. It's just from their perspective. This is what they think. And most of the time, they're all wrong, but they're still having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's really fun and engaging to watch.
That's great.
So out of all those movies, one of these things is not
like
the
other.
What's that?
Avatar, why are you in there?
That's true.
Did you get lost?
Yeah.
Were you trying to go to the...
On your way out of the computer?
Yeah.
Looking for Tron?
Yeah. Looking for...
Okay.
I'm surprised District 9 wasn't.
No, wait. That's later, but it's not for Best Picture. Now we have... Best performance.
Depiction of prawns.
It's a new category. The prawns really lobbied for it this year.
Best bug in a spaceship?
Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. We have Emily Blunt for The Young Victoria. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no one has seen that.
Nope.
Here we go. And this goes back to my English. Every year, the Golden Globes and the Academy, I'm sure, if there's English accents and gowns, it's going to get a goddamn nod. I mean, you can literally...
Sandra Bullock, too, is next.
For The Blind Side.
For radio. I mean, no, The Blind Side. Yeah. Oh, that's
I wanted
right.
to see
it's a
that.
Movie. Search and replace.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay. I read an interview with the guy that it's based on. He was like, there was something. There's some real things that happened in that movie. There's some other things that I don't know what to tell you.
There's some good moments in it, and it's got definitely has some after school special stuff in it. But Sandra Bullock does. I mean, I give her credit. Yeah. It's she's taking
right,
a big
she's
swing.
She's not playing opposite Hugh Grant and tripping.
Yeah, exactly.
God love her.
Best actor? We'll run through these. Oh, there's a couple more. Helen Mirren, The Last Station.
I've never loved you more. Right, got it. That's a limey and a love and a thing with a dress.
Exactly. No, actually, this The Last Station is about the guy that wrote Crime and Punishment. Dostoevsky. Yeah, and you know what? I can't imagine reading Dostoevsky is
its own reward.
It's quite boring.
Did he write
now,
Life
a movie
the Ivan, in the
about
Day
him?
Of Ivan Denisovich, was that him?
Not sure. Okay, so Carrie Mulligan in Education, did not see that. That's when she gets statutory rape by an older professor.
Wow.
I think that's, no, I think that's...
Oh, that's
yeah,
what happens
that's
in
an
education?
Education where it's a...
Oh, yeah, and then she doesn't, okay. Doesn't she spin it around?
Yeah, but it I think it makes it... glamorous.
Precious again?
Gabby Sadaib. Yeah, the woman who plays Precious. She's awesome. She should win it all.
She should win it all. Yeah,
so, all right, let's just run down these real quick. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture. We got Jeff Bridges, Crazy Heart, George Clooney, Up in the Air, Colin Firth, The Single Man, Morgan Freeman, Invictus, Tobey Maguire, Brothers. Okay, that's kind of a solid category.
Yeah.
I'm a little...
What was Brothers?
Brothers was another remake.
That's a post-traumatic stress movie with the other Gyllenhaal.
Oh, okay.
Boy Gyllenhaal and Tobey Maguire.
Right,
and,
Best motion picture, comedy, or musical.
We don't have time to
comedy
read all
is
music. Well, I figured this
that's
is the last
that's
one.
That's the new category.
Last one. 500 Days of Summer, The Hangover, It's Complicated, Julie and Julia, and Nine.
Wow.
You saw Julie and Julia.
I did see Julie and Julia, and I think Nora Ephron did a very lovely thing for both of those two women. she made them both look a little saner than both of them were. Because I read My Life in France before I went and saw it, which is the Julia Child memoir, and I did not read the blog lady, Beeswax, because I was like, I get it.
Right.
And she looked like a piece of work, and Julia Child seemed like a piece of work. But both of them, I mean, they seemed very, like, they had been glossed over, but they seemed like really cool, like, very strong women who had, you know, they wanted to do something, and they wanted to do something different, and somebody gave a shit. Which is always, I think, it's a lot like stand-up comedy. All it is. Because all you do is you do what you do, and then you see if anyone cares.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's podcasting.
Yeah.
That's what it might be.
And okay, so, you want to go to...
Yeah, let's do real quick, just out on, Hurt Locker's out on DVD, also Moon...
We got a good review of that.
There's a very good review
yeah.
of the movie Moon, which was Sam Rockwell. It was in the theaters for like 5 minutes, but it's an excellent movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Bowie's son directed a movie like Solaris.
And then our good new writer, Dave Anthony, wrote a review of Glenn Beck's The Christmas Sweater. It'll give you a great insight into how fucking nuts Glenn Beck
yes,
is.
Yes, it's a great
two
review.
Two ends, people.
Yeah.
Glenn with two ends.
Oh, yeah.
For, like,
he
what
is a wing bird freak zone. And now he can join Sarah Palin, another wing nut. She joined the Fox Network.
I'm glad that they put them all in one box.
Yes.
And I hope they drop the box off the cliff.
Yeah.
Man.
I think, good, Sarah Palin on Fox. Finally, a new perspective on that show. Yes. Wow, my God.
You know, here's the joke nobody gets. I think Sarah Palin would make an excellent president if we lived in The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Anyway,
nice.
There's an old there's a book no
so
one
let's,
should have to read.
As we got about 5-10 minutes left, let's go into what's coming out in theaters this week.
This very week.
Legion. Oh shit, the angels are back to fight.
Is that the end of the world set in a diner?
Of course it is. Of course it is. Yeah.
Okay.
It's end of the world.
Where the kid's going to be born, but it's the Antichrist or the Christ baby?
I don't know for sure, but I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've seen it advertised.
And the
like
plot
so.
Will make less sense than what you just said. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I can't.
When are they going to make a canticle for Leibowitz? Have you ever read that? There's some dork cred. Come on.
Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm in. I don't
you
know
want, you
want
to review it for the site?
Yeah.
All right. You got Tooth Fairy, and I think it's been a search and replace from the pacifier.
Let me tell you.
Couldn't get Vin Diesel.
First of all, I like that guy.
Yeah.
The Rock, too.
I think he's funny. I think he's likable.
Yeah.
I think that this movie is going to be exactly what I expect it to be, and I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it. It's going to have moving pictures. It's going to look like they're all alive on the big screen.
It's going to be bright colors.
Bright
the theater
colors.
Will be dark.
I honestly think Tooth Fairy is going to be a movie I'm going to watch 6 months from now on a plane and go, hey.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. That's O'Hare to LAX went a little faster.
It may not be worth $11, but I'll pay it. What the hell? Because I want to see that, and it's complicated, so whatever.
Oh, it's so complicated.
I think you guys are giving Tooth Fairy a little bit too much credit.
Oh, you think?
I think it's going to be the worst movie he's ever made, and that's saying something.
That is saying something, but I have to say that there was a movie that I'm the only movie I'm scared to see in a hotel room and like is
Escape to Witch Mountain.
No.
Because he did that.
It's oh, did he?
Oh, well, yeah,
that's
right. That's right. Yeah,
that's right.
The Rock
I saw that
did
one.
Escape to Richmond.
What about no? It was the Dane Cook where he sleeps with people and then they get married.
Oh, I'm pretty sure there's no danger of you liking that movie.
I was afraid though. That's what I
no,
made
no,
clear
you're
of.
Safe.
Okay,
you're safe.
Did you see that one?
I don't know. I don't.
Okay,
have to.
Yeah. You don't have to.
He's the breakup yeah. buddy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like up Chuck right. or Chuck's up or I don't know what it's called.
Good luck, Chuck.
Good luck, Chuck.
Yeah,
that's
you're,
it.
You're sure. safe. You're safe.
You think I'm safe? All right.
Yeah, that's like seeing like what was that movie that ended Tom Green's career? Freddie Got Fingered. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm afraid to watch this. I think I might like it. Well, if you do, then hang yourself.
That's,
you're pretty safe.
I like Tom Green.
Yeah. Did you like that movie?
I never saw it because it looked horrible.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want to lose your love. You didn't want the dew off the lily.
I wanted to keep him as
I talk an old timey.
I was like, 23 Skidoo, Jackie.
Take me for a buggy ride. I'll take you outside and put you one right in the schnoz. Anyway, go.
Edge of Darkness?
What's
oh,
that?
Yeah, that's the new Mel Gibson movie. Hasn't made a movie in a long time that he didn't produce about gods or saviors being whipped.
Right. He did the Jungle movie, and then
the Jesus movie. Yeah, but now he's actually acting in a movie.
Does his daughter gets killed and he goes to take it?
Maybe, I don't know.
Is that
I thought
Ransom?
That was Extraordinary Measures.
I thought that was Ransom.
No.
Was it?
No, Edge of Darkness
is the Mel Gibson movie. Real children?
Edge of Darkness is the Mel Gibson
Yeah,
movie?
Extraordinary Measures is the one with Han Solo and the mummy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you need
right.
You need to work around the clock.
Brendan.
Yeah.
I already work around the
and
clock.
Harrison Ford, yeah.
Man, and the thing is he actually, they have airbrushed that, have you seen the poster? Mm-hmm. Holy smokes. They've tried to take like a good 17 years off of him. Because I think he's in his early
80s. Fraser?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what I want Brendan Fraser to be is 11.
Yeah.
Hanging out with an 80-year-old Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Well, honestly, the poster for that looks like a romantic comedy. It's all
it
like
really
white
does.
And fluffy. It looks. I'm surprised they're not like back to back looking at each other like, wait, Extraordinary Measures. We both own a cookie store. We're going to fall in love. Joel Schumacher directed it.
Yeah.
All right, Spy Next Door.
Why is everyone in leather pants?
Jackie Chan.
We talked about this before, and you know what? I might have to go see it because I'm a big Jackie Chan fan just to see how...
But it looks
bad. Oh, yeah. Again, it's the same movie. It's the Tooth Fairy. It's the pacifier. It's okay. He's a crazy martial arts spy. But this guy's also a babysitter. He's got to do both at the same time.
Where's the dog?
Yeah.
some sort of animal.
And I'm just thinking, man, Jackie Chan, you think Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all these great movies. And I'm like, oh, come on. You don't have to do these movies. You don't. There's no rule.
Maybe he does. Have you ever talked to Mike? Have you ever seen that interview with Michael Caine about the movies that he does? And he's like, I look at the script. I look at how much they're... No, I don't even look at the script. He said, I look at where they're shooting and I look at how much they're paying me.
Yeah, that's what they do, honestly. And I get it. Like, it's like...
If I was an actor, it's like taking stand-up work.
Sure.
Where you're like, well, I do stand-up comedy. Yes, I'm going to your laundromat. And
it's like, you know, the...
That's a good discussion, though. But you think that the roles for these actors are limited, where they have to take these, where they're not being offered choices? Like, what? Why can't Jackie Chan have his own production company? I'm sure he does, and develop the scripts that he wants to do instead of having to be handed.
Maybe
he does do that. Disney things. He does do that, but those always get U.S. releases. They do well in Hong Kong and in China,
right? Mm-hmm.
But I think Spy Next Door was a boatload of money. I mean, honestly, like I've done this as we've all done this as a stand up. It's like, do you want to go perform in February in Miami? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the money? Well, the crowds are going to blow or whatever. Like, I don't care. You stay at a resort. There's a gym. Like, I don't, you know, like.
I'm totally against this. When do we leave?
Exactly. Yeah. My sister put it very, very smartly. She was like, why are you going to northern Minnesota to an Indian casino? Are there three old people that have never heard of you and $50 to be made? And I'm like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. They let me do an hour. I'm going.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, I figure that in. And like when I coattail it with Doug, he's always like, actually, this club, the shows aren't great, but the hotel's awesome, or it's across the street from a mall that's got great movies.
You get dinner and drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Maria, I'm going to Boston with Maria, and she's like, I don't know what it's going to... We have to go in a day early. Is that all right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you get to stay at this bed and breakfast two nights instead of one, and they're going to, you know, take us to see the Liberty. I don't know. I mean, it's like...
Well, let's go right into our plugs then.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about, Jackie, other than the fact that you're on the site with some great reviews?
Yes. And also, I got a new CD and a new Dork Forest design t-shirt.
And we're going to be starting to carry those on the site. Right now, we currently have Jackie's older CD, Circus People, which is great and signed on the site. If you buy it on the site,
here's the thing.
Signed.
If you're like in Norway or the UK and you're like, who is Jackie Cation? Buy her CD. We will ship it to
Europe. We ship worldwide.
Yeah. And you can hear a free track from the new CD on my website if you like. And then I will get JackieCation.com, JackieCation.com. And the new CD is called It Is Never Going to Be Bread. And the title track, you just right-click it and download it, or just click it and listen. Listen in your QuickTime.
And for the fine folks in the U.S. that are listening, where upcoming tour dates, where are you going to be?
I'm doing shows around L.A. a lot this week, and then I'm in Stockton, California.
Stockton, get ready.
Get ready to rumble on Saturday night at a country club. Anyway, so nice. Which is probably a private. I don't know, but so I'm around, and then I do a podcast myself every week called The Dork Forest.
Great.
Dork Forest Radio. Mm-hmm. You guys have both been on it, mm-hmm. and we talk about dorky things. And I'm going to do one later today, and people should try dorkforestradio.com.
Outstanding, Chris.
Well, we've got our bigger shows coming. We've got the Improv Show, Comedy Film Nerds Live show, the 19th, I believe.
Tuesday the 19th.
Yep. And we're doing a crossover with Geekscape.
So who's on that show?
We have you and I, of course. Steve White, which is very, very funny. Jonathan London and Corey Roberts, I believe. And we have some great short films, too.
So if you're in the L.A. area, Tuesday, January 19th, 8:30 at the Improv. Tickets are only $5. There's no drink minimum, nothing. It's just $5. It's an awesome night of stand-up comedy and short films. We do that the third Tuesday of every month.
Yep.
You can also, for me, I will be this Sunday at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, the 17th, in the Jimmy Pardo's Running Your Trap and the Benson Interruption.
Nice.
And I will be the 21st at the San Jose Improv with Doug Benson, and the 25th and 26th of January at the Sacramento Punchline. You can go to grahamelwood.com or my MySpace Facebook page. Of course, Comedy Film Nerds is on Twitter.
And also we have, Comedy Film Nerds. And also, if you go to the Comedy Film Nerds site, we'll be updating the calendar. So you can, if you forget any of these dates, you can actually see them there. And the store, we've got some new stuff in the store. Your CD, signed and personalized, will be in the store. And
your movie.
My book.
And your book. and my
DVD.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Myopic sure Visions is also, we'll sign and personalize the stuff for you. And we ship all over the world.
We ship all over the world, and downloads and anything like that. Anything you guys buy, you help support independent artists and filmmakers, which we greatly appreciate. Tell your friends,
family,
and
co-workers.
Anyone with a credit card.
Anyone with a credit card. And they
18 and over.
18. All right. Well, thank you very much. This has been Graham Elwood and Chris Mancini. We thank Jackie Cation.
Great to be here. See you next time.
ComedyFilmNerds.com. Remember, Chris, Han shot first.
Indeed.
Later.
So true.